You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Kingsburg is one of only 10 U.S. cities to host a new traveling exhibit regarding the stories of Japanese Americans in World War II. Joining us now to tell us more about this exhibit, which is currently on display at the Kingsburg Historical Park, is David Meyer, the local curator for the Go for Broke exhibit. David, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is something that's happening around the country, but it's in Kingsburg right now. What is the Go for Broke exhibit all about, and why is it called Go for Broke?
Go for Broke is an organization that is based in Los Angeles. However, the term comes from the famous 442nd Regiment, which was made up primarily of Japanese Americans in World War II, and that was their regimental motto, meaning that they were putting everything on the line when they went into battle, and they turned out to be one of the most decorated regiments of the entire World War II.
So tell us about this exhibit. What does it involve? This is a national project. Does it have a local flavor? And what would one expect to find?
It absolutely has a local flavor. And that was been my primary responsibility in creating the local content. I did have a little bit of input into creating the national part of the exhibition, as did all of the 10 cities in creating that. But each city gets a section of this exhibition to make their own story heard. And it's been just a fascinating project because even though I've lived in Kingsburg since 1977, I learned an awful lot that I had no clue about.
Tell us a little about that. There was a sizable, and still to this day is, to some degree, but especially before the war, a sizable Japanese-American population in Kingsburg.
This is something that we've lost a little bit of because, as you say, the population of Japanese-Americans, of Japanese of ancestry, has diminished considerably. And this was something that I was very interested in finding out. In 1940, the population, according to the U.S. Census of Kingsburg, was 1,504 people. And in 1940, there were three grocery stores owned by Japanese Americans. There was a noodle house. There was a Buddhist church that also had a language school to teach the Japanese language to kids. There was a Japanese labor contractor, or possibly more than one. And this was all in a town of 1,504, which traditionally was known as a Swedish village.
Some people might find that surprising, as you just mentioned, given Kingsburg's reputation as a Scandinavian colony, so to speak. Does this give us a different picture of Kingsburg in the area?
It does. It does. And that's what's been so interesting to bring out, because I don't think I was the Lone Ranger in not being fully aware of this. And one of the key things I like to point out is that at our historical park, we have a school that was moved there, but it was an early 1900s school. It was an elementary school. And within that school, we have pictures of every graduating class from Kingsburg High School from the beginning, which was about 1907, I believe. And it's absolutely fascinating to look at the class pictures for 1940. We found that fully 20% of the students were Japanese American kids. And then, of course, if you go to 1943, because of Executive Order 9066, which removed all people of Japanese ancestry, there are no students of Japanese ancestry. And then thereafter, as they were released from the camps and trickled back to Kingsburg or whatever community they're going to, we have never reached the level that we were in 1940. So we apparently, based on the pictures of the high school students, I would guess that we lost about half of our Japanese American population. They never returned to Kingsburg after being interned.
So, of course, one cannot talk about the Japanese-American experience without talking about the forced internment in concentration camps of Japanese-Americans on the West Coast. So many here in this area have their own family stories with that. What in the exhibit tells that story?
Well, we've got we featured the stories from seven local families. They vary a little bit in what occurred to them. We have a the most notable person that we have involved with our exhibition is a fellow by the name of Bob Yano, and he was a soldier in the 442nd Regiment, fought in Italy, France, and other places in Europe, and he has a fascinating history to tell, and he's very good at telling it. And we have a lot of his artifacts. He hung on to an amazing collection of items, and we have his dress uniform that he's kept, and incidentally, he can still fit into it. And we have his compass and his field manuals and a number of other artifacts. Amongst them, the most interesting one is an item that is called, and I'm going to butcher the Japanese probably, but it's Seninbari. And that is a sash that a soldier would wear for protection. And it's basically just a piece of cloth. And it has on it, sewn onto it, 1,000 red dots. And usually those sashes would be made by the soldier's mother and given to the soldier when he went off to war. However, Bob and his family, when they were incarcerated in Gila River camp, his mother had gone to Japan for a visit shortly before that. And so she was not in the camp. She couldn't come back to the United States. And so the ladies that were in the camp sewed this Seninbari sash for him in the Gila River camp. And he then took that with him to war. He wore that sash through the entire war.
Tell me a little more about how the local component fits with the national character of the exhibit also. Are the stories, are there many common threads, both from what you have locally and what's in the national exhibit?
Actually, no. Surprisingly, you would think, even though much of the exhibition is the same no matter where it goes, the local flavor is very distinct in every area that it's going. And to give you an example, that in Honolulu, of course, Hawaii had a huge Japanese-American population. So incarceration of Japanese was very difficult to attain, and they didn't make very much of an effort because it would be an obvious failure. When we get to Kingsburg and the San Joaquin Valley, then the story is very much the same in the San Joaquin Valley, and that's because the Japanese Americans who came to America and immigrated in the early 20th century, most of them were very poor, obviously did not speak English, and had limited opportunities. And so they found their way into the San Joaquin Valley, and the reason they did was because there was farm labor to be done, and that was something that they could do because it did not require a high level of skill or knowledge of the language. And this is very unique to the whole San Joaquin Valley, and the stories that we tell in Kingsburg could just as easily be represented in Sanger, Parlier, Reedley, in all of the San Joaquin Valley communities that we have around here. But, of course, we would change the faces if we moved to different towns from the people that we've featured in Kingsburg.
So this is one of only two California communities that are on the list for receiving this national exhibit, and only 10 cities nationwide. Tell us a little more about your museum. The Kingsburg Historical Society operates the historic park there just to the east of town. Tell us about that.
The historical park that is operated by the Kingsburg Historical Society is one of the least known gems of the area. It is a approximately 5-acre park with lots of green space and trees and shade, but it also contains a number of buildings that have different historical exhibitions within them. And the center of the whole park is the Clay School, which was a school from early 1900s, which was then not used because it got old, and it was moved on to the park and preserved in that way. And we also have an early 1900s church that was moved in from out in the country because, again, the population that supported it was diminishing, and this was a way to preserve it. And we've completely redone the church to its original condition, and it's really something special to see. Have a early 1900s house completely furnished with period furniture and museum quality mannequins that are set up. And the list goes really on and on and on. We have a memorial hall where we honor the citizens of Kingsburg that have stood out, such as Rafer Johnson and Jimmy Johnson, Monty Clark, and of course all the mayors and other people. We have a grocery store that's a replica of a 1950s store, and all the contents actually came from a Kingsburg resident that had the store. And we have tractors and old trucks and horseless carriages. It just goes on and on. It's very extensive display. Every time I spend any time at the park, I see stuff that I did not know existed, and I've been involved with the park for 10 years.
So if people want to see this exhibit, tell us a little more about how they can do that.
Well, the park is at 2321 Sierra Street in Kingsburg. It's very easy to find. We're going to be open from Wednesday through Sunday. Every day we're open is from 9 to 5, and there is no admission charge.
All right. I understand a lot of school groups are also interested in seeing this.
We are now seeing a great deal of interest in school groups, and it's getting difficult to accommodate them because if you have the general public coming in, it's kind of hard to put on any kind of a lecture sort of visit. But we're working to accommodate as many as we can.
The exhibit is now through February 4th. It's called Courage and Compassion, Our Shared Story of the Japanese-American World War II Experience. The exhibit is supported by the National Park Service through a grant to the Go for Broke National Education Center, that group dedicated to educating the public on the valor of Japanese Americans during World War II. David Meyer, the local curator for the exhibit for the Kingsburg Historical Society, with us today. David, thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.